Turn, if you would, with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Continue to get prayer requests, and I'm just always encouraged about that, that we're seeking the face of the Lord in all that we do. I'm reminded that as Sonny has been choosing songs dealing with holiness, that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we're called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that we might, what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us. And certainly God has called us to be different than the world. We're not to be like them, we're to be different. Romans chapter 8 talks about this difference that comes not by human will. A reminder of that point in John chapter 1, not an act of human will, is it? If it was true, then Romans chapter 7, he would have found victory. His statement in Romans chapter 7 is, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am, who's going to set me free from this? I just can't seem to get things right. But he goes into chapter 8, but you've been set free. And it's by the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul will write in Galatians, we have the Spirit of God's Son within us that cries out, Abba, Father. And Paul will write here in Romans chapter 8 that we have the Spirit, not again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption. So it's the great emphasis of the Spirit of God moving our hearts. And as he comes to the close, he talks about even in our prayers. But the fact of the matter is we don't know how to pray. The disciples realized that at a very early stage. They were coming to the Lord and they said, teach us to pray. We're self-consumed. It's easy to get immersed in our circumstances and to think that it's all about fixing those problems around us. But it's not about that. It's about us being perfected into his glory. And God is causing these things to bring us into not only his presence, but to complete us. This is one of the great emphases of Romans chapter 8. He says this in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In other words, he's taken for granted that you're going to be going through some difficult times, and clearly the church was at that time going through some sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Very rarely do you see scripture emphasizing you need to pray to get out of the problems. But what you see scripture emphasizing is that we be made complete. As we've oftentimes quoted James, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance. And then let that endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. It is the consummation of Jesus Christ in us, becoming complete in him, as Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 4. There are times that we're going to have suffering. What should we pray for? Well, I don't think it's a sin to ask him for help and for relief. Clearly, God is gracious and merciful to us. But the Spirit of God is groaning within us in prayers far deeper than just get me out of here. He's groaning within us prayers of change me, complete me. And if you look within the passage, he makes mention of the fact that all of creation has been subjected to futility and that we live in a world that is futile. If you don't believe that's true, read Ecclesiastes, great book that emphasizes the futility of this world. It doesn't make sense. If you're trying to make this world make sense without God, you're in trouble. But as you make him Lord of your life, everything makes sense. And so he begins to write in this chapter that the world is a slave to corruption. He says that in verse 21. Creation itself also be set free from its slavery of corruption. There is an anxious longing, therefore, to be set free from this world. That's the prayer that begins to whelm up within inside of us. Set us free from this world. That doesn't make any sense. And then he goes on and he talks about this hope that we have. Verse 24. That is the hope to be set free. The end of verse 23 is that we wait eagerly for the redemption. That's what we're waiting for. A confident expectation to be set free, to be made once again like Christ. Verse 24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Now, not only is the Spirit of God touched with our infirmities, but the emphasis here is that the Spirit of God is moving us to pray for something deeper than just get me out of here. It is that I might see your plan in my life, how you are making me into the image of Christ. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What's the will of God? That you might become like his Son. And we know that God is causing all things to work together for good. God is orchestrating these things, even the sufferings that you have, if for a little while. Because you love him and you walk according to his purpose, he's going to orchestrate these things. And then he says this in verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. The Spirit of God begins to move within our hearts and we begin to pray, Lord, make me like you. It may mean that we go through some difficult times and some suffering. But he begins to transform our heart and set us free from the selfish desires that we oftentimes have into the realm of true freedom to be as Christ. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God is teaching us to pray. And he's drawing us to him. He's conforming us to the image of his Son. Paul will later write in Romans chapter 12, therefore, according to the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You begin to pray things like, Lord, use me, however you choose, that your name would be glorified. Not my will, but yours be done. That's a different spirit, isn't it? But it's a freeing spirit. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that we can come to you and that you transform our mind and our hearts, our lives, through the person of Jesus Christ. It is your spirit that we desire. And you anxiously desire this according to the book of James. You are jealous for this spirit to consume us. Lord, we ask that we would grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.